Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then encourages us to adopt sabr and to persevere and to endure whenever a calamity befalls us. Allah then says, Bashiri sabirin, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give glad tidings to as-sabirin, those who exercise sabr. Alladina, who are they? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the sabirin, those who endure and who persevere. Alladina idha asabatuhum musibah, they are those that when a musibah befalls them. Brothers, just I want you to focus on this word musibah in Arabic. In English, we translate it as calamity, a difficulty, a hardship, musibah. When a musibah befalls them. But when we study the original meaning of musibah, it comes from the word asaba. Asaba yusibu. When a person has a target before him and he shoots his arrow and he hits the target exactly where he wanted to hit it, then you say asaba. Asaba, he has hit the target. Or he shoots and he shoots the target, we will say that asaba, he hit the target. And Allah calls a calamity musibah, meaning that calamity hit its target. You were the target. If it hit you, it hits its target. Musib, something that hits its target. So it was never going to miss you. It was going to hit you, Allah says. So a calamity hits its target. Never feel that if you had done things differently, you would not have become a target of that calamity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who are the sabirin? Alladhina idha asabatuhum musibah. They are those who, when afflicted by a musibah, by calamity, qalu, immediately what do? They turn to Allah. That is sabr. They turn to Allah. They don't become hysterical. We spoke about sabr yesterday. Qalu inna lillah. They say, to Allah we belong. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And to Allah shall be our return. So they remind themselves of who is in control of that situation and who is in control of that affair. So they turn immediately to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the demand of sabr. That is our, should be our very first reaction. Ulaika alayhim salawatun min rabbihim. Allah says, those for them are blessings from their Rabb. Wa rahmah, and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ulaika humul muhtadun. And certainly they are the rightly guided ones. Inna as-safa wal marwa min sha'airillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves on to another topic. Allah says, indeed, Safa. As-safa, we know Mount Safa. And al-marwa, these two mountains or these two hills, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say they are from amongst the symbols of Allah. Do not take them lightly. They are from amongst the symbols and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتِ. So whoever performs Hajj of Al-Bayt, the Kaaba, or i'tamara, or whoever performs Umrah, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ أَيَّ طَوَّفَ بِهِمَا. Allah says there's no harm, there's no blame upon him if he makes tawaf of the two. If he will run between the two of them, Allah says there's no harm and there's no blame on this person for doing so. Why does Allah say this? In the time of Jahiliyyah, well before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's appointment as a Nabi, as a Prophet, there were two people who were in love, who were madly in love, a man and a woman. And they performed zina in the Kaaba, in the Baytullah. In the Baytullah, in the Kaaba, they committed this great crime against Allah. That is where they performed zina. Allah immediately had them transformed into stone. That was the adab, that was the punishment. Instantly they were turned into stone. When the people came and they found them, they realized the deed that they were engaged in. So the people took these two stones, or these two people who were transformed into stones. They placed the one on Mount Safa and they placed the other on Mount Marwa, so that it can serve as a lesson to the people of Makkah and those who came and performed the rituals of Hajj during the days of Jahiliyyah. As time passed and years went by, people would make tawaf of As-Safa and Marwa, and when they would come to these two idols that were there, they began venerating them. And they began worshipping them. as years passed, people then later started worshipping them, venerating them, touching them, hoping to get some blessings out of them. So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala ajma'een, after they embraced Islam, they felt it difficult now to make sa'i between Safa and Marwa, because they understood what they would do in Ayyamul Jahiliyyah, that they would go up to Safa and they would worship that idol that was there, and they would go to Marwa and do the same over there. So Allah says, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ. Whosoever performs Hajj or Umrah, there's no blame, there's no harm, there's no sin if you will go and perform tawaf between Safa and Marwa. These are indeed the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from here we understand that to make sa'i between Safa and Marwa, whether one is performing Hajj or Umrah, is a wajib and obligatory act. May Allah ta'ala grant us understanding.